From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 28th day of November 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes at Stewart Peterson. She's from right here in Champaign County. A bit later in the program, the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility, that's in Logansport, Indiana, will be here to look at the cash grain market. And we'll close out the day by discussing the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. And it all happens, as usual, on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stewart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stewart-peterson.com.
Well, in Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day with a nearby December soft red winter wheat a bit higher, up 3 cents, on its settlement price at $8.76. The July or the harvest month at $8.87.5 a bushel, a settlement price there as well, up 5 cents. The hard red in Kansas City on a close at $9.43.25, up a nickel for the day. From the corn pit, and these will all be closes rather than settlement prices. December contract $7.61.5, up a penny and a half. The March up 3/4. At $7.64.75, and May corn at $7.60.75 at 2 o'clock, down 0.75 cents. July futures $7.51.75, down 0.75 cents. Of course, that's Central Time. September contract at $6.58, down 2 cents. In December corn, the harvest month at $6.41.25 for next year at 3.75 cents higher. The March 2014 contract in the corn pit at $6.48.25, up 3 cents on the day. January soybeans on a close down a penny and 3/4 cents at $14.47.5. The March at $14.35, 2.5 cents lower. May contract $14.10.75, down 3.5 cents. In July soybeans at $14 a penny and a half, down 5.5 cents. August futures $13.75, down 7, and the November $13.05, 5.75 cents lower in the bean pit. January of next year down 11.25 at $13.05. Bean meal futures up 20 cents on the day at $4.39.50. Bean oil 4 cents lower at $50.08. Live cattle futures finished the nearby contract in the February at $131.65, down 67.5. The March feeders at $149.30 were down 60, and the February lean hogs at $87.57.5, up 85 cents on their settlement price. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, January contract, $86.52 a barrel, 66 cents lower. The RBOB gasoline at $2.73.5, that's up 0.2 cents. And ethanol at $2.44.7 is 0.9 cents higher. The difference between the two on their spread is 28.8 cents, and that's 0.6 cents narrower than yesterday. Natural gas at 269.6 cents, down 7.3 cents. The heating oil just about unchanged at $3.05 for diesel, and the gold futures at $1,716.50 an ounce, down $25.80 on their close. The U.S. dollar now trading 80.33. That's down 0.06. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, sunny skies, a high near 45 degrees today. And then mostly clear this evening, a low of 27 on the evening. Calm winds out of the south at 5 to 7 miles an hour tonight. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a high of 50 on a south-southwest wind at 7 to 11. Could gust all the way to 15. And then tomorrow evening for the Urbana-Champaign area, partly cloudy, a low of 36. Friday, sunny and 54. Friday evening, mostly cloudy and 41. Saturday, mostly cloudy skies and 56 degrees. Saturday night, a chance of rain, cloudy, a low of 50. Partly sunny on Sunday and a high near 60. Sunday evening, mostly cloudy and a low of 49. Monday, mostly cloudy and a high of 63 degrees. A chance of rain on Monday evening, mostly cloudy skies, a low of 51. And then Tuesday of next week, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a high near 56 degrees. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. He is in Kansas City.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 28th day of November. Let's check the agricultural futures markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Stewart Peterson right here in Champaign County, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start with what happened in Chicago, and we'll work our way through a whole bunch of other things and a list today. But after yesterday's big move in the marketplace higher, things ended quietly, it seemed, today. Was the trade quiet as well or not?
The trade was quiet, and I think, you know, we have to remember when you look at open interest on both corn and beans, we've been losing open interest, which says most of our higher action has come primarily due to short covering. There hasn't been anything that confirms that this is something that is real or for anything long-term. And so I think all you do is you see people come in after a day like yesterday. They do some profit-taking. And, you know, when you look at December corn, we, of course, came up and almost touched the 100-day moving average at 767. We made 763 and a quarter. You look at January beans, we came up and almost touched the 200-day moving average. And so, you know, there's an awful lot of those are areas where you will see resting orders, sell orders, basically. And so I think that's what was going on more than anything else today.
Any indication yesterday that it was a settling up for the calendar year or a rebalancing by the funds at all?
Well, not so much at this point in time yet, but I do think, you know, there's definitely some movement going on. It's kind of interesting when you look at the volatility on corn. Look at traditional funds. Traditional funds really like to buy low volatility. Well, believe me, they should be looking at corn right now. And so I think we saw a little bit of fund buying in that respect. But I think there's a lot of concerns. You know, we keep talking about the fiscal cliff. Well, how do we trade the fiscal cliff? You know, how do we know what's going to happen if we go off of it? And so I just think you have people who are willing to bank any profit that they might make for right now until we find out more.
Have you been studying the fiscal cliff? Have any indication of what might happen?
Well, then watch, you know, certainly following it, and Wall Street Journal basically, you know, it's one of those things. It could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing. There's a huge difference between opinions. They're looking at GDP potential between 1.5 on one side and 2.5 next year on the other side, depending upon if we go off or we don't go off. We also have that huge debt from Sandy that's looming over the top of everything, which right now they're saying went up by another $12 billion to $42 billion this year. So I think that it's just we're going to see the trade be very tentative, cautious, and very, very much in tune with what the outside markets are doing.
Let's turn your attention from one thing that could be a good thing or a bad thing, the fiscal cliff, most to something that we're fairly certain will be a bad thing. That would be the potential closing of the Mississippi River at or near St. Louis and between St. Louis and Cairo because of low flows. The Missouri River, of course, is now going to go down. The Corps of Engineers has decided to shut the flow off in the Missouri River. What kind of things have you been looking at, and what concerns do you have?
Well, you know, it's interesting to see how quickly it has an impact, dropping it down to 12,000 cubic feet per second by December 10th. And they're guessing that at that point in time, it could be negative 3.45 feet at the St. Louis level. But there's a lot of other people who believe it could be even worse than the record, and the record is negative 6.5. What does that mean? In the old days, and it's been true, when we get to the negative 5 point, you know, we've got points that are just you just can't navigate. And probably more importantly, your profitability is gone. There, you know, we know when we were over to Cairo in August, they were down to 12 barges from 36 already then.
And those weren't fully loaded.
And they were not fully loaded. And so, you know, the situation is just one that I don't think the Corps of Engineers is moving very quickly. Just like they normally wouldn't move quickly. The people up in Missouri, the Corps of Engineers in Missouri, say it's our job to protect the Missouri reservoirs. What happens on the Mississippi isn't our concern. And I really think, in general, the population underestimates the value of the Mississippi. You know, I've heard it. I have a friend who said to me today, he said, you know, we really have three coasts here in the United States. We have the East Coast, the West Coast, and the Mississippi River Coast. And if you think about that and you take the Mississippi River out of the picture, and 60% of the exports for the world, for the nation, go through the Mississippi River, we move 22% of our petroleum, 20% of our coal. What about our fertilizer coming back up the river? I had a guy in Indiana today say to me, you know, I never knew that my fertilizer came up the river. I just thought it came out of the warehouse over in Ohio. Okay. Well, I mean, you know, we don't think about that when we have it available to us. And so I think the even bigger picture, the economic picture, is what might it do to the GDP and also unemployment. You know, that's a big thing because there are a lot of people that work within that industry. So I think, you know, we do not look as if we're going to have any relief from the drought. I had a fellow today say, well, why can't we just use the Ohio? Well, the reality is we are so short of topsoil moisture in the United States that every river is down, no matter where it is, and you still have to use the Mississippi to get down to the Gulf. And so I think the closing is going to be more negative corn than it will beans, primarily because, you know, that's a delivery point at St. Louis for corn and a heavily used delivery point. And so we have to be very careful in terms of how much of the old crop corn we're willing to hang on to, because if suddenly ethanol margins continue to be somewhat negative, and we're lucky we have low exports sales right now, because otherwise we'd probably have to default on them. If farmers get scared and they start to sell, it could really take the socks right out of old crop, at least for a period of time. So, you know, I've got some information, Todd, I thought you might be interested in. In the last 17 years, December corn closed higher than the November close 11 times out of 17, lower 4 times, and the same twice. Now, January beans in that same 17 years closed higher 8 times and lower 9 times. And the lower closes basically were from 96 to 2002 when we didn't have as good a demand and we had good weather. And 2003 to 2011, we've seen higher closes, you know, due to higher demand and less favorable weather, which could easily be the situation this year.
Jackie, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you.
Hey, Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson. She's right here in Champaign County, joins us on the Closing Market Report each and every Wednesday afternoon. You can hear her again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org, or on our mobile website at m.willag.org, or just dial this number, 217-333-3434. We call that one our mobile analyst portal.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at Illinois Public Media joins us now to take a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, a growing group of nearly 80 members of Congress, 3 governors, and countless waterway operators are calling on President Barack Obama and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to keep the Mississippi River open for commerce. To do that, the Corps needs to override its water management plan for the Missouri River, so enough water keeps flowing to maintain the Mississippi River's congressionally mandated 9-foot depth. The Mississippi River supports 45% of the nation's soybean exports and 50 to 60% of the nation's corn exports. Earlier this week, the Corps adjusted the water release from the Gavin's Point Dam, the last dam on the Missouri River's reservoir system, to one of the lowest levels in decades, in an effort to avoid ice buildup and flooding upstream during the winter. But at the confluence of the Missouri and Mississippi rivers, the Missouri's expected reduction would expose rock formations called pinnacles that would bring shipping to a halt. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Frank Lucas says that he still favors passing a new farm bill before the end of the year, but is now preparing a backup plan involving an extension. Meanwhile, congressional aides and farm lobbyists are saying that writing and assembling the votes to extend the 2008 farm bill during the lame duck session may prove at least as difficult as finishing a new farm bill before Congress leaves town in mid-December. This summer's drought raises many questions about what kind of extension bill the House and Senate would support. how it would be financed, and what would happen to the budgetary savings that the agriculture committees had offered as their contribution to reducing the federal deficit. In addition, the bills passed by the Senate and the House Agriculture Committees contained cotton provisions that U.S. trade negotiators hoped would resolve the World Trade Organization cotton case that Brazil won against the United States. Revenue is up for farmers in 2012 for almost all sources of farm income. But net farm income for the entire farming sector is down 3.3%, mainly due to high farm expenditures, especially for livestock feed. Net farm income nationally is projected to be $114 billion in 2012, despite the widespread drought. The net farm income figure is down about $4 billion from 2011's record high farm income. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you you can sign up for our free weekend newsletter on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Just look over on the right-hand side of the page and hit subscribe.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Just when you think you've seen it all, the summer of 2012 appears. Now, the drought that hit Illinois and most of the rest of the Corn Belt this summer was among the worst of the last century. Record high corn and soybean prices followed. On top of this source of volatility, agricultural policy remained very uncertain. The financial crisis in Europe continued, and political turmoil in the Middle East was heightened even further. Understanding these sources of volatility and how to deal with the associated large risk is front and center in the minds of all producers and of the ag economist at the University of Illinois. They'll try to add some clarity to the issues during this year's Illinois Farm Economic Summits, says Scott Irwin.
I think what we really try to do in these meetings is to help people develop a frame of reference for what the economic environment's going to look like over the next year or so, and then talk about some specific management strategies to relate to that.
Here's an example.
Imagine, you know, a very difficult management issue right now is how do you manage your taxes as a producer, in light of the extreme uncertainty we have about what might happen to tax rates and different kinds of tax rules with our fiscal cliff negotiations that are going on. So we're going to cover the likely outcomes that we see in terms of taxes and how that might affect different kind of tax management strategies a farmer could use. That's just one example.
Many other topics will be covered during the December meetings to be held around the state of Illinois the week of Monday, December the 10th. The University of Illinois Extension Farm Doc team will be in Champaign, Sycamore, Galesburg, Mount Vernon, and Bloomington. These are morning-long sessions for farmers, landowners, and bankers. The Ag Economist will explore farm profitability outlook and management challenges from several perspectives, including the outlook for prices, income prospects and crop rotation decisions, impact of biofuels mandates, tax implications of crop insurance payments, crop insurance choices, and changes to farm programs. I'll emcee the programs, and speakers will include Daryl Good, Gary Hoff, Scott Irwin, Nick Paulson, Gary Schnitke, and Bruce Sherrick. You can register today at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Hey, if you have not signed up yet for the Farm Economic Summits I just told you about, probably ought to head to the Farm Doc Daily website, look up on the top, and get signed up. I believe that signature registration period closes later this week. It's at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. The other thing you want to sign up for is the set of January Crop Sciences meetings. These are the corn and soybean classic series that have been going on for a very long time now. And we make our way across the state with a crop scientist in the month of January. You can look and see if we'll be near you. We're actually adding a Peoria destination, so if you're in that area, you can come and visit us at the Paradise Hotel there on the Illinois River in the month of January. You can find all the details for the Corn and Soybean Classic Series at cropsciconferences.com. Now let's take a look at what's been happening in the cash grain market. The folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana, have been very busy today. But join us now to talk about that marketplace. Good afternoon to you. Who do I have on the line today?
Scott Butcher, Todd.
Oh, hey, Scott. Thanks so much. You guys, when I called, everybody was on the line and busy, so I suspect you're either buying corn or trying to source it someplace. What you up to there?
Yeah, things have been active here the last few days with the market rallying. I mean, we have seen a pretty good amount of corn movement.
Are these bushels you've already purchased, or are they new sales?
Most of it would be new sales. I mean, we have seen some folks that are pricing some DP stuff as well, but most of it would be new sales.
Yeah, at what level did they decide to let go?
Most of the stuff that you could get done here recently for Jan-Feb time frame was right at $8 cash. We actually had a lot of open offers in at $8 cash that triggered would have been yesterday late afternoon as the market came back up a little bit more, and then today we were lower most of the day and turned around and came back a little bit again. So we're actually, we've been able to lock in some $8 plus stuff here, and that's really kind of the goal for everybody, I think, coming out of harvest was $8 cash.
Are you 35 over then, I take it?
We would have been, yeah. We've actually faded those bids a little bit, but we were 35 to 40 over for those months.
That was a pretty – what were you typically before that? Not quite that strong, I don't think.
No. We were, somewhere around – we've consistently been somewhere around 30 over most of the time.
Okay, and so once you got to $8, that turned everybody loose. That seems to make sense to me. How about for soybeans in the area? Are processors hunting as well?
Yeah, they definitely have been looking for beans here lately. Bids have gotten stronger. It feels like they, did get pretty good movement during harvest, but once harvest ended, they, were looking for beans again.
Okay, and there was some idea that this could be kind of a choppy trade that for end users like yourselves at the ethanol plant there would go hunting periodically for corn. When's the next time you think you'll be in need of hunting again? I hate to ask it that way, but I'm pretty sure that's what'll happen over the next few months.
Yeah, it'll definitely be that March-April time frame. Todd, you're going to see a lot of folks that are selling stuff for December, January, February, and a little bit for March, not much. Once we get into April, May, June, July, it's going to get very interesting. If plants want to run and grind corn, it's going to be very, very hard to find it, it feels like.
And what are your bids for the day?
Today we would be $7.90 for corn, $14.31 soybeans.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Scott Butcher. He is with the Andersons from right there in Logansport, Indiana. Joined us on a Wednesday afternoon to take up the cash grain market. I'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City about the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National French Toast Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1837, John Wesley Hyatt was born. He developed the process for making celluloid, the first synthetic plastic. He also invented a water purifying system, a sugarcane mill, and a widely used roller bearing. In 1863, Thanksgiving was first celebrated as a regular American holiday by proclamation of Abraham Lincoln. By the way, the first recorded Thanksgiving ceremony took place on September 8, 1565. when 600 Spanish settlers held a massive Thanksgiving for their safe delivery to the New World, followed by a feast and celebration. In 1869, W.F. Semple of Mount Vernon, Ohio, was issued the first chewing gum patent. In 1942, coffee rationing began in the U.S. And in 2006, Texas Republican State Representative Betty Brown filed a bill in the state legislature which would declare Athens, Texas, as the original home of the hamburger. Residents of New Haven, Connecticut, strongly objected. City fathers in New Haven say the hamburger was invented there at Lewis Lunch in 1900. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon, as usual. Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City is on the phone line. Drew, another beautiful day here as we head into the winter season. I hope we have many more of these before we get really cold. What do you think?
I think that's a very good possibility. We seem to be operating in some strange weather mode. I don't really know what the reason is. I think that we're going to continue to see some quick fluctuations in temperature across the region. We'll have our few days of cold, and then we'll have some more warmth, and I think we're going to continue in this pattern for a little while. Now, we get a little bit deeper into the latter part of December and January, maybe we'll lock into a pattern that is a little bit colder on a more consistent basis. So at least for the next week to 10 days, we'll probably continue to experience some really nice weather, I think, in general, relative to what we've seen in past November into early December periods. Precipitation is going to be rather limited, although as we move forward over these next 2 weeks, we'll likely see a little bit of an increase in the number of frontal systems that can bring a little precipitation to the eastern Midwest. The first little disturbance will come across the region here this weekend. It will not produce much moisture, and the temperature change is not going to be all that great either. We will be very warm as we finish out the weekend, move into the early part of next week, actually. And a new frontal system will come across the region maybe Monday or Tuesday, and it will produce its own set of showers and maybe even a thunderstorm or two. And then some much cooler air will come in after that. But it doesn't last long. We'll turn right around and warm back up again later in the week next week.
Turn your attention further west in the United States, the hard red winter growing regions in the Great Plains states.
Yeah, pretty sad situation out there. There's no precipitation of significance expected in hard red winter wheat country over this next week to 10 days. There will be a chance that when we get involved with one of these colder surges of air, that we'll get a little light snow to fall down across the central plains. But the moisture content in the snow that might occur under those circumstances will be very low. And even though we have precipitation falling out there, it's not going to make any difference to the bottom line. Certainly a little snow on the ground would be very helpful in protecting these poorly established crops. But that's about all the good that we can come up with for right now. The bottom line is that the drought will continue to live on in wheat country, and for that matter, many areas in the western Corn Belt will continue with large moisture deficits and little sign of significant moisture improvement.
In contrast, the growing season for at least the summer-based crops in South America has been progressing quite nicely after kind of a tough start.
That's right. There's plenty of moisture right now throughout most of Brazil's crop country, and it looks like those areas that have just even a slightest tendency for drying will actually get plenty of rain over the next 10 days to 2 weeks. So there's no reason to be concerned about a dry problem in Brazil. And in Argentina, it is excessive moisture that is the biggest concern. They're right in the heart of corn and soybean country. We've had way too much moisture here recently. We've got another storm system coming into the region tonight, and it will last into maybe Friday morning, and yet another one for early next week. So planting is on hold in the heart of Argentina. We may end up seeing some switching from corn over to soybeans.
Thanks so much, Drew, for taking the time with us.
You betcha. Have a great day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and that wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.